invites you to allow your eyes to close or just softly focus downward. And just maybe taking a few nice, slow, deep breaths. And just noticing this sensation of breathing in, breathing out, sitting in the chair, being held to the earth by gravity, and just arriving. And allowing your awareness to go within, to your heart. Maybe allowing the loving witness that is you to just notice how it is with your heart today. Maybe there's a weather condition, a color, a temperature, a feeling or sensation. Again, there's nothing to fix, nothing to change, nothing even to understand, only to witness. And in these moments of witnessing, can you welcome in love? You're just singing about that. Can you allow yourself to know that you are held and sustained by love? Can you meet whatever is here for you today with the love that is yours inside? And just hold it in kindness, tenderness, compassion, and care. This is the day after Valentine's Day, a celebration of love. And for many of us, it's a joyful, happy, fun season of life. And for others, it's also a time of sadness, of grief, of loss. Maybe the experience of loneliness. Can all of that, whatever is here, just be held in love? Holding of love, maybe connect to the words that we've been singing. May our hearts be open and receptive to this moment just as it is. And then coming back to your breath, a few nice, long, slow, deep breaths, allowing your awareness now to come back to the room, to the sounds, maybe the smells, the others that are around you. And as you're ready, gently opening your eyes. Thank you. That's a prayer. That's a prayer. So so grateful that you're here today. So grateful that you've taken time out of your lives to join us. Today we're going to spend some time exploring freedom and joy in service. And today's service is going to be a little town hall-ish in that I'll give an opportunity for some people here who serve in different ways to just share ways that you can be involved and serve and just connect to this community. But I want to put today in a larger context. It is the day after Valentine's Day. I'm appreciating the splashes of red that I'm seeing that everybody's wearing. And to just bring that consciousness of love to today is great. It's also a spiritually very energized and charged week before us. In the Christian tradition, today is known as Transfiguration Sunday. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the message. But it's the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, which is this Wednesday. And in the Christian tradition, Ash Wednesday is the period that is 40 days before Easter. And so there's just a richness to all of that that I hope will be meaningful to you. In other traditions, it's also the coming of the Chinese New Year. I believe this Tuesday is the actual turning of the calendar in the Chinese calendar. And we're coming out of the Year of the Snake. And the snake means many things, but a couple of things that are predominant in the Year of the Snake is it's a season of death, a season of endings, a season of shedding. And I think all of you, if you've not personally experienced that, you've been around people who are very close to you, and you've walked with them through that valley of loss, death, and the shedding and the giving off of things. And then the new year that's coming in is the year of the fire horse. The fire horse, which is all about new life, new energy, and becoming attuned to that energy. And I really like that, this idea of attunement. It's a musical term. And, when a music group is attuned harmonically, it's just very, very special. And I think it definitely carries over into our spiritual life. And so this is where, in the Chinese tradition, they talk about purging and cleaning and doing all of that stuff before the new year actually changes. Now, I don't think we have to get super legalistic about it, but I think there's a principle here that before we can attune ourselves and welcome in what is new, we really need to go through the process and create space in our lives to allow the old to go away. Now, sometimes that process can make a lot of sense mentally. Oh, yeah, sure, of course, right? At least it does for me, you know, but my heart, that's a whole other ballgame. My heart doesn't understand what it means to let go. Or what to do that, you know? And so this is where ritual and ceremony can come in. So next Sunday, we're going to be having, I've been calling it by its wrong name. It's not the burning bowl, it's the fire ceremony, or it's the fire, it is the burning bowl. Okay.
Ah, you got it right.
I got it right. So burning bowl. Okay. Next Sunday, we're going to do our burning our burning bowl ceremony. And this will be an opportunity to just ritualize things in your life that you want to just let go of, and using the element of fire as a tool. Because again, sometimes our bodies or our minds may not understand what it means to let go of something, but fire does. Fire has this unique way of taking down what's not useful and also preserving what is. So we're going to ask the fire to do that, and I'm really looking forward to that ceremony. The week after that, March 1st, is going to be our white stone ceremony. So having gone through this process of letting go and the purifying ritual of the fire, we're going to reflect on what is it that we're wanting to welcome into our life in this new year. And I'm really looking forward to that. And then the week after that, March 8th, we're going to do a ritual around writing letters from God, right? Sometimes it's letters to God, letters from God, but we're going to do this letters from God. So we're going to invite those of you that would like to write a letter to God, what you think God might want to say to you towards the end of the year. Now, again, you don't have to believe in God to do this. It could be spirit, it could be life, it could be source. You know, so if you're thinking, oh, this doesn't make any sense to me, hey, that's okay. You don't have to participate if you don't want to. But it's this idea of peering into the future and what would divine intelligence, wisdom, and love want to say to you. Then it's really cool. We'll turn those letters in. They'll be kept confidential. And towards the end of the year, we'll actually mail them back to you so that you can be reminded of that. So just some real richness coming up that I'm really, really excited about. But today, back to our focus on exploring freedom in service. And the idea here is that, again, we're living our lives forward into a new reality. When it comes to this thing called service and gifts, I think that divine intelligence, love, God, Spirit, Source, whatever, knows all that. The human experience is living into that. We're not human beings trying really hard to have spiritual experiences. I think, rather, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so when it comes to this idea of what's my life about, what's the meaning, what's the purpose, our lives already have a meaning and a purpose to them. The joy, the thrill, sometimes the terror and the fear is living into the realization of that meaning and that purpose. Because sometimes we don't always know what it is. But isn't it cool to know that divine does? Here's where it gets really interesting. Sometimes other people see it. Have you ever had the experience of people seeing something in you that you didn't see in yourself? I've had a number of people in my life, coaches, teachers, spiritual leaders, who saw a spark, saw a gift, saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And that process of waking up to that is thrilling and sometimes scary too. It's like, whoa, I don't know if I have this or I want this. But this is the idea that freedom in service really is an experience of exploration and discovery. And so in that, I'm offering us an intention, a prayer. In our service, may we experience the joy and freedom of being fruitful and fulfilled. The two F's of service: fruitful and fulfilled. What do I mean by fruitful? Well, there are many words for spiritual fruit, but as you serve, as you give, as you offer your talent and your treasure, you know, to this world today, you can take a little check of am I experiencing fruitfulness? And for me, being in the Christian tradition, I think of the fruits of the Spirit. And there are 10 of them that are listed. And you might want to just jot these down. It's not an exhaustive list, but these are the ones that I think about. You know, spiritual fruit. You know, what is it? Well, the first one is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Everything comes back to love. The second one is joy. And joy is not just happiness. Joy is this sense of all is well. We end all of our services with the prayer, wherever we are, God is, and all is well. That's a description of joy. A third fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace. When I think of peace, I think of the eye of a hurricane. You know, there are these storms and fierce winds, you know, around it. But they say in the eye of a hurricane, it's just an eerie calm. Have any of you ever experienced being in the eye of a hurricane or going through that? Carolyn has, yeah. Yeah. But it's that peace. A fourth fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience. My friends, this is a big one. At least, I won't speak for you, but for me, we live in the I want it and I want it now generation. You know, just with this little cell phone device, we can go on and point and click and boom and have something at our doorstep in the afternoon. You know, it's that quick. And have you ever just stepped back to think how unusual that is just for this time in which we're living? Even in our transportation, you know, pre-automobile days when people used horses to get around or people walked, you know, there was a built-in time frame. You know, but today this is this age of, you know, teleporting and video conferencing. I mean, we can just be anywhere, if not physically, you know, emotionally, in just a you know, click of a finger. And so this experience of patience, I think, is a fruit of the Spirit, you know, where we can wait for something to ever emerge. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness is another fruit of the Spirit. Would you agree that we could use a lot more kindness in our world today? Yeah. You know, it's the kindness, I think, at its heart is that it's the assumption of goodwill in someone else. Even when it may seem to you there's nothing here good or helpful about this, there's an assumption that there's something there. And so when we approach and when we engage in that way, there's a kindness and a fruitfulness that's there. Another one is gentleness. I won't go through all of them, but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. There are others. I'm just curious, are there any other fruits of the Spirit that come to your mind that maybe I didn't just mention?
Long-suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A cousin of patience, you know, just the ability to be with something that's unpleasant. Yeah. Anything else?
Compassion.
What is it?
Compassion.
Compassion? Yep. That's actually coming up in the fulfilled list, but yes. I like how you're thinking, George. Yeah. Yeah. Any others? Yeah, Tracy?
Do you have acceptance?
Acceptance? No, but that's a great one. Acceptance, yeah. Who said what we resist persists? You know, so if you're noticing things in your life that you're resisting, yeah, you're going to find that it persists. But if you can come to that place of accepting things as they are, all of a sudden it becomes less powerful. Steve, do you have your hand up?
Humor.
Humor. Yes. Yes. Laughter. I've been studying, it's interesting, I thought of this, I've been studying the desert mystics. These are people who, mothers, desert mothers and fathers, lived out their spiritual life in the desert. In that process, they became what were known as holy fools. Holy fools. A holy fool is someone who laughs at something that other people take seriously and takes seriously things that people laugh at. Humor's powerful. Yeah. Okay? But you get the idea. When you're serving and you're attuned with your divine purpose and your calling, you're going to experience some of these fruits of the Spirit. Okay? Now, a second aspect of that is the sense of fulfillment. What does it look like to be fulfilled? And when I think about that, I think about the 8 C's of fulfillment. And I'm stealing these from an author named Dick Schwartz, who wrote a book about internal family systems. It's a psychological framework and all this, but he talks about within all of us, our true self, when it's being expressed, can be experienced in these 8 C's. And again, I just want to go over them with you. The first one is calm, okay? There's a calm about you. The second one is clarity. When you're in your true self, there's a sense of clarity in the midst of the fog and the mystery of what's going on. A third one is curiosity. Curiosity. I just love that one. Curiosity is all about having an open mind, an open heart to everything, being curious. And the fourth one is confidence. Confidence that, yes, I am where I need to be. I am doing what I need to be doing. And it's not an arrogance. It's not a brutishness. It's not a bulliness. That's not confidence. That's masked fear. Okay, but confidence is just this peaceful, resolute. I get this image of a ship going through a storm. I don't know if you've ever seen these videos of container ships, you know, going through storms in the middle of the ocean, and the waves are tossing all about them, but that ship is on course. I think that's what confidence, how it shows up in our life. Another one is connection. When we're in our true self and feeling fulfillment, we do feel that sense of connection to others in the world around us. Another C is courage. Courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is action in the presence of fear. In fact, I think the absence of fear is maybe a little more pathological than helpful. But when we can act, when we can respond to something in the presence of fear, that's courage. Creativity. We are creative beings. And you may think of creativity as limited to those we call artists, you know, musicians, sculptors, painters, writers, etc., etc., etc. But each and every one of you here are spiritual artists. And as you give of your life and as you create of your life, there's something unique and special that is only to you. And so, you know, allowing that space for that creativity to be there and express itself through you however it wants to. And then lastly, compassion, the sense of compassion. You can see where these fruits and things overlap. But, you know, compassion is really empathy in action. We talk a lot about empathy. That's a word that's starting to fall on hard times. Not everybody agrees that empathy is always helpful. And I can see the value in that, because if we just make it our goal to empathize, nothing gets done. But empathy is that place where, yes, you join and you are with someone in their situation. And then from that place of withness and identification, you act. That's compassion. And I think all of us here would agree that our world as a whole needs a whole lot more of all of that. But the practice here and the invitation is to just allow you to just do a little self-inventory, self-reflection. As we're coming to the end of this Chinese year, is there anything in you that's wanting to die? Is there anything in you that's wanting to be released? Is there anything in you that's wanting to be shed? Reflect on that. And then next week in our burning bowl ceremony, there'll be an opportunity to let that go using the fire. Okay? Another thought. Well, let me offer you two thoughts about service here that I think are good. The first one is this. Only those who have learned the power of sincere and selfless contribution experience life's deepest joy, true fulfillment. Now, you'll see that's from Tony Robbins. I have a complicated relationship with Tony Robbins. I'm not a super huge fan of him, especially some of what's happened in his life. But that doesn't mean that we can't consider and take insights that he offers. And I think this one is very, very useful as we think of our service, particularly this idea of sincere and selfless contribution. Sincere and selfless contribution. The spiritual path that all of us are on, and all traditions speak to it, not just Christian, but all of them, is this idea of the emptying of the self, okay? Not the killing of the self, but the emptying. The theological term for it is kenosis, the emptying of the self into the spiritual realm. And life has a way, love has a way of just dealing with us all about that. I can tell you how it is for me. Sincere and selfless recognition shows up in things that I do that don't get recognized or thanked. I believe we can't say thank you. I believe we can't recognize enough. But have you had the experience of doing something and not being recognized for it? It's one of the things I'm noticing about life in a smaller town from which I came is there's a big thing of recognition, and people, you know, get their names attached to things that are done and all that kind of stuff, and it feels really, really good to have that. It's nice to have a small community where we can acknowledge and celebrate one another for the things that we're done. But sometimes the test comes in when you do something good and you do something right, and there's radio silence. Have you ever experienced that before? Okay. This is where, if we're not mindful, if we don't come back to ourself and our source, we can become bitter. We can become burned out. We can start thinking nobody else cares. But Jesus had this uncanny way of doing things and then disappearing. He would heal people. He would, you know, feed 5 loaves and 2 fishes and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? And I'm just always fascinated by that, because, you know, if he were alive today, it was like, hey, and I've said this before, you know, come to my seminar on how I, you know, multiply loaves and fishes and how you can do it too, you know, if you wanted to start this movement. But there was this selflessness and this self-deference. Don't make it about me. Again, that's why I'm hesitant to use the word Christian, because Jesus never used it. It was a term invented by the Romans to identify people who followed his way of life and teaching after he left the earth. So there's something just about that tradition, but all traditions, you know, that have this way of selflessly serving and selflessly giving of yourself. Secondly, this quote here, you have to grow from the inside out. None can teach you. Whoops, I got ahead of myself here. Hang on. None can make you spiritual. Oh, there we are. Thank you, Brian. You have to grow from the inside out. No one can teach you. None can make you spiritual. The spiritual journey is the unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love. I love that last line. The spiritual journey is the unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love. And it just reminds me of that quote by Rumi. Your job is not to search for love, but rather to search for the barriers that you've put in your heart against love. And so I just find that, you know, very, very useful. And oftentimes that experience of fear and disconnection comes up as we serve and interact with one another. But it's a path that only you can take and only you can walk on. All right. So much more I could say about that. I want to shift gears now and just spotlight ways that you can be involved here. This, you know, is a bunch of good theoretical stuff and spiritual principles and all that, but maybe you're here today and just wondering, how can I serve? What are some of the needs that we have? What are ways that we can connect? And to start us off, I'm going to turn it over to Brian, who's going to help us navigate some of our web resources that him and Margaret, our volunteer coordinator, among many things that she does here so very well, have put together. And then I'm going to have a few of our ministry leaders share. So, Brian?
Let me just clarify what I'm doing here. So this is our ministries page, and on our ministries page are listed all the different groups or the different ministries that offer service here. So Board of Trustees, Celebration Assistants, the choir. I've got the choir listed here as a ministry because they serve us through their music. Community Garden is a ministry, even though it's a, you know, it's a group that's sort of serving themselves, but they're also serving the community through their expression of gardening and cultivation. Decorating, Family Promise is an outreach group that we participate in. Greeters and Ushers, the groundskeeping, hospitality, InReach, the music team, that performs here every Sunday. The office team, prayer chaplains, the Sunday service, tech, Turkeys and More, another outreach group that we participate in, and our youth ed group.
Awesome. Brian, can you show us how to navigate to that page from the homepage?
So again, if you're on the homepage, it's under community. So you click on the community heading, go down to ministries, and then it lists all these different groups. And then if you click on a group or on a ministry, then it provides you with a description of the ministry and a contact person that you can get in touch with if you want to get more information or if you're interested in joining the team.
Awesome. And you created a QR code. Can you take us to that slide? This is for all of you tech geeks, you know, that, yes, we are kind of modern here, you know, in that, but there's a, yeah, how does that?
If you hold up your phone to that QR code with your camera, most people can do it with their camera app. If you just hold up your phone with your camera app, it will pick up that QR code and convert it into a link. Then you tap on that link and it'll open up the Unity website and take you to the ministries page. So it's just a shortcut to get you there.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian. I hope that's a helpful resource. And one of the things I wanted to do but decided not to do right now is to have like a ministry fair where all of our different ministries and leaders can set up tables after church and give you a chance to do that. We'll do that sometime this fall. We got a lot going on right now, so we're not going to do that. But what I've done is just we're going to do this kind of, again, town hall style. This isn't rehearsed or planned out, but just let a few of our leaders that are here talk to you about what they're doing and ways that you can get involved just to sort of spark your curiosity. So, Julie, can I start with you? And can you talk about music, choir, and all things related to that?
Absolutely. Thank you. So I have a couple of ways if you're interested in participating in music that you can be involved here. One is choir. We're always open and open arms to anyone that would like to come and join us with singing. And it's not just about singing. It's about building community within this team we call choir. And we learn about songs, we learn about music, we learn about being together, and we learn about creating a beautiful sound together. And I think it was St. Francis of Assisi that said, when you sing, you pray twice. And so that's what we think of when we are in choir. So please think about joining us. Another thing to think about with music here is that our wonderful instrumentalists that we have every Sunday, it's a different group every Sunday almost, a different combination of people, always looking for more people to participate that way, as well as if you are a soloist, I am interested in having you sing with us or sing with me too. So there's that. And then also we do concerts periodically. We do events like Fat Follies, where you can participate that way and just have fun. So it's not about just being really a great professional singer or a great professional performer. It's just about coming together, being in community together, and how do we do it with the music team? We do it with choir and instrumentals and just performing together. So that's it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Blossom? I know we didn't talk about this, and you don't have to put you on the spot, but you lead our prayer chaplain team. Would you be interested in sharing a few words about how people can get connected there? Thank you for being willing.
Well, the prayer chaplain team, we pray for all the congregants, and when you put in a request, we pray over those for a week, and then we send it on to Silent Unity, who prays for it for a month. And right now we have 8 prayer chaplains, and we take turns each Sunday. And, 2 of us pray with whoever comes to us for prayer need or prayer joy. So that's what we do.
Nice. Thank you. Sienna, would you talk to us about our InReach team that we have?
InReach is the best blessing that we have in this whole community, because we have an opportunity to help our members and other community members in need when they need us the most. And it can be something as simple as bringing a meal or going to visit them when they're in a hospital or a center. It can be just checking in on them to make sure that they're okay. And so it's really easy to do. All you have to do is let me know when there's a need. Please do let me know when there's a need in the community so that we can reach out and see if that person would like us to help them. Because sometimes they don't, they have friends. But we really like to serve, and we really want to serve you. So please let us know.
Awesome, thank you. Geraldine, I know we didn't talk about this, but you help out with around the office. Would you share with us some ways that...
I made my list real quick.
He's coming with the microphone. Uh-oh.
Oh, I have to stand up, too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Of course, always looking for help in the office during the week. There's all kinds of things that come up every day that I need help with. And I can't tell you exactly, but some of them that stand out are like filing, answering the phone, making flyers. We use Canva, which is a wonderful program for nonprofit organizations, and they make some great flyers for us. So I'll teach you that. And also data entry for Power Church. We always could use some help. Donna Hodge has been doing that too for a while, but maybe she could use some help with that. And also helping you connect to other groups. If you didn't like what I asked you to do, like maybe rake some pine cones. Oh no, Geraldine, I don't do that. I can't do that. Okay, I'll find you something else to do. So I have ready list also that I've started to make in case someone just walk in and said, hey, you know what? I want to help. Do you have a job? I said, sure. Let's take a look on the list. So that's how it runs in the office. And always have a smile on your face, please. All right, thank you.
Thank you, yes. And lastly, I wish we're not going to have time to do everybody. Brian, Jim, from the technical side of things, anything you could share with people here about some of our needs or how they could help get involved?
Yeah, sure. So we're always looking for help back here in the technical department. when we're doing our job, you don't really notice us. And that's the way we want it. But we have Brian, who's running PowerPoint, and we have people that are running streaming, and also myself running sound. And we can always use people to help back us up so we can take a break from time to time. Just come and talk to us, and we usually do a training so that you know come work with us for a few Sundays, and then we cut you loose, and it's all yours. So we'd be happy to have anybody come back and join us.
Awesome. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, I know there are others that I'm not getting to today, and it's just this crazy thing called time that I'm aware of. But I just wanted to give you a flavor of some things that you could do, and also a way that you can see online what some of those things are, so that you can have time in the privacy of your own life and the quietness of your own life to discern what that might be. But I just want to leave all of us with a closing thought. These are important days in our lives. And I think it is the most important, the most urgent, and the most rewarding time to be a part of a spiritual community like this. There's a lot that's happening in our country today, and it would be very easy to become disillusioned or disoriented. So much change has happened, and sometimes in our service, in our experience of service, something that's worked and something that served before doesn't work or serve any longer, and that can be the most maddening experience. You know, 10 years ago we did this, and you know, 15 years ago we did this, and wow, you know, it's great. The helpful thing is to look back into the heart and to the spirit of what it was that did that, but be willing to let go of the arrangement. The word that I use for this time that we're in right now is deranged, okay? Not in the careless, you know, reckless sort of way, but derangement literally means the destruction, if you will, of arrangements that are no longer serving, so that we can open ourselves up to a new rearrangement of what wants to emerge. And I came across this quote in a book called The Great Work by Thomas Berry, and I just thought it was so applicable. I want to just leave it with us today. The great work before us is not a role we have chosen. Think about that. Okay. It is a role given to us beyond any consultation with ourselves. We did not choose. We were chosen by something or one beyond ourselves for this historical task. We are, as it were, thrown into existence with a challenge and a role that is beyond any personal choice. The nobility of our lives, however, depends upon the manner in which we come to understand and fulfill our designed role. I just want to invite you to just let that soak, because I've spent a lot of time talking about our agency as beings and our ability to choose. And I think there is another dimension to that choice of being chosen. I'm thinking of Jesus and the disciples. None of them woke up and thought, I'm going to follow this spiritual teacher today. No, he had this uncanny way of inviting them into service. And I think the same spirit happens today. It's a spirit that invites us to be as winsome as serpents and gentle as doves. And sometimes that, you know, I've talked about this idea, this work, you know, of building bridges. I think there's a work of building tunnels as well. That's why I'm really excited about the men's group. It's just going to be a community of connection and growth, and I hope that if you're on the fence thinking about it, that you'll consider coming. It's just going to be for an hour and 15 minutes, and I don't want to tell you too much about it, but what I'm excited about is getting men together in community. So, you know, if you're thinking about, oh my gosh, are we going to start crying, and I've got to tell my stuff, that, you know, that may or may not happen, all right? But I just hope you'll come to that. So
I hope this message and this time just gives you a chance to, again, step back. If you're serving and you're in your role, I hope everything that I've said today is just cemented and poured some inspiration into that. But if you're not really sure, I hope that these thoughts today have just created some space in your heart and soul for you to reflect on your life and where am I noticing being fruitful and being fulfilled. And our greatest days are already here, and we get to live into them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so it is.
Thank you, James. I think it's about feeling that urging to propel you forward, to learn how to shine your light. And one of the things that some people do when they shine their light is they dance. I sing. Some people dance, and this song is about dancing.
Ha ha ha!
I just, this container here is too small to contain that. I mean, it's just like, wow, you know, where's the retractable roof when we need it? All right, we're going to move now to a time of receiving our offering, our tithes and our offerings. If you're joining us online, you'll see a place on our website where you can donate. For those of you here, there are many ways that you can give, and I just want to thank you in advance for your presence and your participation in this time of giving. And so as we get ready to give, let's say our love offering action statement, which is, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I receive. Thank you so much.
All right, it's your turn to sing. Sing with me.